السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. رسالة الشريف. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. Before I start, as I walked in, I heard the sound of a young child, which, you know, I turned back, and it's so pleasing to the eye, soothing to the ears, and comforting to the heart to witness and see young children in the masjid at the time of Jummah or at the time of any salah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always make our hearts welcoming to our youngsters, whether they are the boys, they are the girls, they are the men, they are the women. Masajid should be places where everybody feels welcome. And these are the sounds that we should be hearing in our masajid, which shows that we are inclusive and we are trying to revive the same sunnah as was present during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This reminds me of the Jumu'ah when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is delivering the khutbah, and during the khutbah, Jumu'ah, Masjid Nabawi, Sahaba, Madina Munawwara, his two grandchildren Hassan and Hussein came into the masjid and they were tumbling over. He stopped the khutbah, descended from the pulpit, went into the gathering, he picked them both up and he continued, and he said, "Sadaqallah, innama amwalukum wa awladukum fitna." He said, Allah spoke the truth, that when he said, your children and your wealth are a test for you, because I saw my young children and they were tumbling over, I couldn't bear it, I had to stop, I went down, I picked them up. This was the example of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hadith of Sahih Muslim, once he was leading the Fard Salah, and he was carrying one of his granddaughters, radiyallahu ta'ala anha. Every time he would stand, he would pick her up, and he was leading the salah in this manner. When he would go into sajda, he would put her down. When he would stand again, he would pick her up again. This is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Thus we had children who loved the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Children grew up in a society, they loved Islam, they loved the Quran, they loved the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the true understanding. I came across a very interesting saying yesterday of Sheikh Abul Hassan Nadwi rahmatullah alayhi, which I wanted to share with you to start off today's talk, inshallah. He said, now obviously he's passed away, it's been a number of years, I remember. Today, inshallah, we also witness and we're saddened to hear of the passing away of a great, huge, giant of a scholar. Many of us might have not even heard his name. It's not about how famous you are on YouTube or on social media, how many likes or followers you have. It's acceptance in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have lost a great and a huge scholar by the name of Shaykh Mufti Taha Karan al-Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi. A great scholar. And he's been ill with COVID very recently, and we heard about him passing away late last night. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Insha'Allah, immediately after the Jummah Salah, we'll be doing an absent Janazah Salah upon the Shaykh as well. Alhamdulillah, we were very lucky. I think back in 2017, was it? We were lucky to host him in our masjid, alhamdulillah. A giant of a scholar. And if you speak to the scholars, they'll tell you and they'll affirm that he was in the Western world one of the greatest leading English-speaking scholars you can find. And very forward-thinking and a very balanced approach, very humble kind of person. And he was a poet, a calligraphist as well, and a giant of a scholar. Very knowledgeable person. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all his works that he has carried out throughout the world. In particular, he set up an institute in South Africa on the border of Cape Town, where he had been teaching hundreds and thousands of people the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And also in terms of this particular masjid, he was a giant of a Shafi'i scholar as well. Someone you could refer to for guidance when it comes to the fiqh of the Shafi'iyya. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate his status. So very similarly, I remember once I was in Makkatul Mukarramah, and I actually remember exactly, we were between Safa and Marwa, and all of a sudden, this was in Ramadan, 2005, I think it was. And this is like not normal in the Haramain for these kind of announcements to be made, especially for someone who is a non-Arab. So all of a sudden there was an announcement out of hours. It wasn't Salah time. And everybody just stopped. So we were between Safa and Marwa, we just stopped. And the announcement was that a great sheikh from India has passed away. This is in the Haram of Makkah, and also happened in Medina Masjid Nabawi as well. And Sheikh Abul Hassan al-Nadwi, rahimahullah. So he was recognized not just in the Indian subcontinent, he was also recognized in the Arab world as well. Thus, in the Haramain, in Makkatul Mukarramah, I personally, we got a chance to offer his Salatul Janazah. Obviously, he was in India where he passed away, but they performed Janazah Salah upon him in the Haram of Makkah and Medina Munawwara as well. So this is a great Sheikh, and he mentioned this many years ago. Again, he had a lot of insight, and I came across one of his sayings yesterday, and I thought I'll share with you today. He said, لَقَدْ آنَ الْأَوَانِ لقد آن الأوان لتجميع الأمة من شرق العالم وغربه ومن شمال العالم إلى جنوبه بغض النظر عن الجنسيات واللغات والثقات والثقافات على الحمية الدينية لنصرة المسجد الأقصى الأسير. This was something he said many years ago. Imagine he was alive today, what would he have said? He said, لقد آن الأوان. He said, the time has surely come, لِتَجْمِيعِ الْأُمَّةِ, for the ummah to gather and come together and unite, مِنْ شَرْقِ الْعَالَمِ وَغَرْبِهِ, from the east to the west, وَمِنْ شِمَالِهِ إِلَى جُنُوبِهِ, from the north to the south, بِغَدِّ النَّظَرِ عَنِ الْجِنْسِيَاتِ, putting aside our different ethnicities. Forget your racial background. It doesn't matter who you are. You are black, you are white, you are yellow, you are pink. It doesn't matter who you are. You are dark, you are light. You speak this language or that language. He says, regardless of your languages, your ethnicity, and wa thiqafat, your culture, your civilization, your traditions, your customs, regardless, put them all aside. It is time for the ummah globally to unite on what? Alal hamiyyati diniyah. This religious kind of sense of honor should push you, motivate you to come together. Why? Linusratil masjidil aqsal asir. The prisoner, the masjid that has become a prisoner, and the occupied masjidul aqsa, to liberate it and to work towards its freedom, its liberation. At the moment, it's like it's in a prison cell. The Haram of Makkah is free. The Haram of Medina is free. But Masjidul Aqsa is being desecrated on a daily basis. This was the call of Sheikh Abul Hassan Nadwi, rahmatullah alayh, many years ago in this regard. So like we just mentioned, Sheikh Taha Karan leaves behind a legacy. We are now in a time where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored us with Islam, with Iman, with Quran. And He has blessed us with many of these sha'a'ir. And as being a representative of the religion of Islam, a duty that Allah has placed on every single Muslim, young or old, male or female, is not just to practice our religion, but to defend your religion. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being spoken about in an ill manner, when people are being blasphemous, when cartoons and pictures are being drawn ridiculing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, don't you get angry? And doesn't that make you want to say something, do something to defend the honor? We are not calling for violence. We're not calling for violence. But as a Muslim, don't you say a few words at least against what is happening? And then in honor and to defend the sanctity and the rank of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, every Muslim mobilizes themselves to do something. The minimum people do nowadays is to change your WhatsApp status. Even that's something. Okay, so we don't trivialize anything, any action, even that's something. So many people, they change their WhatsApp status in those days. We love Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Many programs were held, many interfaith gatherings were kept, books were distributed, speaking about the honor of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and rightly so. When people decide to burn the Quran, Again, as a Muslim, this is painful for us to experience and see and witness. And as a result, what happens is we make dua for a better solution. And we think of ways how we can promote the Quran to people who don't understand the value and they don't know what the Quran is. And in a similar manner, when any of the signs and the symbols of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are under attack, it is the duty of every Muslim, male or female, young or old, to protect them, to preserve them, to work towards retaining the honor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to them. In the same way, just like on many occasions the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is ridiculed, and globally Muslims unite to try and have one voice to say that that is a line that you shouldn't be crossing. Just like when the Quran is burnt and people get together and say that is a red line and nobody should be crossing that. You need to respect the dignity of the Muslims, and that is something holy and you don't go crossing that barrier. Similarly, Masjid al-Aqsa is one of the symbols of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on earth. It's an ayah of the Quran. On a daily basis, it continues to be desecrated. It is the duty of every Muslim, and you will be asked regarding this on the Day of Judgment, what did you do to serve the cause of Masjid al-Aqsa? What did you do? Masjid al-Aqsa was being desecrated. What did you do? And you might be thinking, what can I do? Every single person can do something. We start off at the minimum by making dua. That's the least. And we leave the rest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when it comes to the outcome and results. We try whatever is within our means. We don't know when Masjid al-Aqsa is going to be liberated. Allah is not going to ask you, did you liberate Masjid al-Aqsa and Palestine or not? That's not the question He will ask. But what will be asked is, Masjid al-Aqsa was occupied. Did you do anything about it? Did you do anything about it? We're not responsible for the results. Let's look back in history and see, was there anyone who did something and how Allah favored them? One such individual was a man by the name of Sultan Imaduddin Zinki, Rahmatullah Alayh, from Iraq. And he was extremely passionate regarding Masjid al-Aqsa. At that time, they were facing an occupation like we are today. Today is the illegal Israeli occupation. In those days was the Crusader occupation. The European Christians who went and occupied Palestine and Masjid al-Aqsa for 88 years. No adhan was given in Masjid al-Aqsa. No salah was performed in Masjid al-Aqsa. 70,000 Muslims were killed inside Masjid al-Aqsa. Crusader historians write themselves that the blood of the Muslims was flowing knee-high. This is documented and found in the books of Crusader historians today. So this is how Masjid al-Aqsa was treated under occupation. Imaduddin Zinki rahmatullah alayhi, in his time, he had a passion, he had a concern, and he started working towards the liberation. And he didn't go there himself, he didn't visit the masjid in his time himself. But he will be considered one of the liberators, although he passed away way before the liberation, because he did whatever was within his means. And one of the most amazing things he did was he gave a good upbringing to his own child. And this is something we can all do. Charity starts from home. Start teaching your children about this beautiful masjid. We know we've taught them about the Kaaba. We've told them about Masjid al-Nabawi. Have we taught our children, our family members, anything about Masjid al-Aqsa? Imaduddin Zinki rahmatullah alayhi nurtured his child, who then later on became to be Sultan Nuruddin Mahmud Imdu Zinki rahmatullah alayhi, the great scholar, the great leader, and the great Sultan, who was then given the area of Damascus, of Syria, of Aleppo, and this is where he ruled. Now in the time of Sultan Nuruddin, his father Imaduddin had a plan. At that time the Muslim world was disunited, and they realized the only way to liberate Baytul Maqdis is firstly to unite the believers. to unite the people of Syria, to unite the people of Egypt, to unite the people that are all disunited all over the world. And only then collectively will be able to liberate Masjid al-Aqsa. This was the original plan of Imaduddin Zinki rahmatullah alayh, but he passed away. His son, who he nurtured on this same understanding, with this same passion, went to carry out this act of uniting the people. And Nuruddin ibn Mahmud, it wasn't just about having political power or military power or any kind of power. The first power we all need and the first thing we all need to do is spiritually connect ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to better ourselves with the intention that, oh Allah, I am bettering myself, I am staying away from sins so that this helps the cause of Masjid al-Aqsa. Because Allah is not going to utilize sinful people for this. He's going to utilize those that are pure. So Allah, please purify me. This is something we can start doing. Charity starts at home. So we can start with ourselves. Start bettering ourselves. How great was he in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It says regarding Nuruddin ibn Mahmud Zinki rahmatullah, Nuruddin Mahmud bin Zinki rahmatullah alayhi, that one night he was sleeping. And in his sleep, he saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed him the vision of two men with blonde hair. And he said, "Oh Nuruddin Mahmud, save me from these two people." Nuruddin, he woke up, he performed wudu, he did some dhikr, and he thought he didn't understand what was happening. He went back to sleep. Again, he saw the same dream. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, "Mahmud, save me from these two people." He woke up, he made wudu, performed salah, and went back to sleep. He didn't understand what to do. Third time again, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him in the dream, the same night, three times he sees exactly the same dream. Seeing that he didn't do anything about it, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him for a third time, "Mahmud, do something, save me from these two individuals." Immediately, Nuruddin wakes up. He gets his closest advisor and he tells him, "Look, this is the dream I have seen." They realize that they need to travel from Damascus to Medina Munawwara. In those days, it used to take approximately 24 days to travel from Damascus to Medina Munawwara. They got many camels together in 18 days. He rushed. In 18 days, he reached Medina Munawwara. And upon arriving to Medina Munawwara, they decided, he had spoke to his advisor and said what he had seen in the dream. He advised Nuruddin that, "Why don't you get all the people together? If we get all the people together, will you be able to recognize those two people you saw in the dream?" He says, "Yes." So they called everybody. The people of Medina were gathered and they kept a feast. And Nuruddin decided to give everybody some charity. So everybody came to eat food and take some of the wealth. When everybody arrived, he started looking around in the gathering. And he didn't see the two people that he was shown in the dream. So at the end they asked, "Is there anybody who is not present?" They said, "Yes, there's two Moroccans who've come and they spend their day in the Riyadul Jannah performing salah. And they go to the graveyard of Al-Baqi and they give water to people. And they are known for their piety. During the night they are always performing salah as well." He says, "Where are they? Call them here." When they arrived, when Nuruddin saw them, he said, "These are the two people that were shown to me in the dream by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said to me, save me from these two people." Then what happens, he says, "Well, let me find out." Whilst the men were there, they go to the house where they were living. Now they were living very close to Masjid al-Nabawi. When they went into the house, they saw there was absolutely nothing there. It was bare. And people praise them. They're very simple, very pious, ascetics. They are monks. And they have no connection with the world whatsoever. They didn't see any kind of, you know, material in the house. And when they entered into the house, Nuruddin is wandering in the house and then he saw a mat. He saw a mat. And when he felt the mat, he put his foot on the mat, it felt hollow. When they removed it, they discovered there was a tunnel. Every night when people thought that they're doing tahajjud in their houses, they were digging a tunnel. And they had dug, and when they went in, some of them say they had reached all the way to the blessed feet of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nuruddin called them and says, "Tell me the truth, who are you?" And then they revealed, "We are Christians, we were given this wealth, and we were told to come and steal the body of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a way to attack the Muslims." Nuruddin ibn Mahmud, he dealt with them the way he needed to deal with them. And thereafter he ordered that lead be poured around. So it was dug around the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's chamber, blessed chamber. Lead was placed there and it's totally blocked. Nobody can enter into that area. Now even if somebody tried, it is extremely difficult. This is the same Nuruddin Mahmud Zinki rahmatullah alayhi. 20 years before Salahuddin came and liberated Masjid al-Aqsa, he wanted to do something. He was passionate. You know what he did? Whilst he was in Aleppo, in Syria, he built a magnificent mimbar. This is a mimbar what I'm sitting on now. It wasn't made of marble, made of wood. 16,500 pieces of wood. And they were connected together without any nails and without any glue. So imagine like Lego. Many years were spent in building and constructing this mimbar. Why did he do it? He did it, he had the intention, one day this mimbar will be used in Masjid al-Aqsa. This was his intention. And when you are truthful and sincere with Allah, Allah blesses your intention, Allah makes it happen. 16,500 pieces of wood put together without any nails and without any glue. And he created this magnificent mimbar. And later on he passed away due to an illness. When Salahuddin Ayyubi rahmatullah, now 20, this is 20 years before, 20 years later, his student now, who was his student? Salahuddin Ayyubi rahmatullah. We always speak about Salahuddin. Salahuddin didn't become Salahuddin overnight. Salahuddin became Salahuddin because of Nuruddin. And Nuruddin became who he was because of his father Imaduddin. 20 years later, in 1187, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted Salahuddin Ayyubi rahmatullah alayhi the opportunity to liberate Masjid al-Aqsa in Palestine. When they entered Masjid al-Aqsa, they cleared it and they started the Salah. One of the elders reminded Salahuddin, he said, "Oh Salahuddin," Salahuddin's name is Yusuf, Yusuf ibn Ayyub. He tells him that Nuruddin had built a mimbar for the liberation of Masjid al-Aqsa 20 years ago. It's in so-and-so place in Aleppo in Syria. Salahuddin didn't know about it. Many people wrongly attribute this mimbar to Salahuddin Ayyubi rahmatullah alayhi. It's not the mimbar of Salahuddin. This is the mimbar of Nuruddin Mahmud Zinki rahmatullah alayhi. When Salahuddin found out, he ordered for it to be bought from Syria all the way to Masjid al-Aqsa. The journey is a week, it's a 2 week journey. But instead of 2 weeks, it took 2 months. Why? Every city that it passed by, there were celebrations. Muslims were rejoicing. Why? Because this became a symbol of liberation of Masjid al-Aqsa. Until it arrived, they assembled it together. They put it up. It's very unique. And it remained. Look at the intention and the concern of Nuruddin, and when you are sincere and you want to do something, Allah will definitely bless you. How blessed was his intention? 20 years ago, before the liberation, he built it. Now it's arrived in Masjid al-Aqsa. Do you know how long it remained there? 800 years. For 800 years it stood there. 40,000 Jummah khutbahs were delivered on that mimbar of Nuruddin Mahmud Zinki rahmatullah alayhi. When you are sincere and when you want to work for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will bless you and Allah will make it happen. Don't think how. Allah will make it happen. And that remained there for 800 years until in 1969, 21st of August, Dennis Michael Rohan, an Australian Christian Zionist, he came with petrol at 7:30 a.m. again, taking advantage of the quiet moments of Masjid al-Aqsa. He entered, he threw this petrol over it and he set fire to it, causing the destruction of the entire mimbar. Only a small piece of one of the doors is left, which is now kept inside the Islamic Museum, which you find inside Masjid al-Aqsa. This was a very sad day, which caused this to totally burn. 800 years it stood there. And then after that it remained without a mimbar for some time. Then they put a simple mimbar there. And then in 2007, the Jordanian custodians, they decided we need to make a similar mimbar once again. So for the next seven, they spent, before 2007, they spent a number of years just studying the mimbar. Just studying it, 5-6 years just studying it, and 2-3 years putting it together, 16,500 pieces without any glue, without any nails, and then they called the engineers from Indonesia to come and put it together. And today you find in Masjid al-Aqsa the replica of the original mimbar. They have made it exactly as it originally was. My message is, what will you do for the sake of Masjid al-Aqsa? It's being desecrated. Everybody can do something. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to at least make dua first of all. Secondly, to learn about it and do whatever is within our means to raise our voices. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.